Welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. You know, every week we bring you in-depth conversations with people in our community who are in the know about the latest economic development and business activities in South Central Kentucky. That is certainly true for this week's guest. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, the TDG Podcast continues to grow because of you. Don't forget to tell your friends about us, subscribe on your preferred platform, and share your feedback with us. You can also follow the DeCesare Group on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and now YouTube. This week's guest is someone who has the finger on the pulse of economic development in the region. Jeff Arnold founded Arnold Consulting Engineering Services, better known as ACES, in 2006. Jeff and his team have over 200 years combined experience in the field of civil and site design, surveying, geotechnical engineering, landscape architecture, and construction materials testing and inspection. Given the large number of caves and karsts in the region, it's interesting to hear his perspective on the challenges this area faces when it comes to economic development. Here's my conversation with Jeff Arnold. Jeff Arnold, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Thank you.
It's so good to see you. You know, you and I have been friends for, I don't know, 15 years or so.
Wow.
We've had a lot of lunches together. We've talked a lot about economic development. And I thought, man, we got to get you on here to talk about, you know, what you do and what you've seen over the last, you know, 50 or 70 years, however long you've been doing this. But first, tell us a little bit about ACES or Arnold Consulting Engineering Services.
Sure. I started the company in 2006. After spending 20 years in Glasgow with American Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide pretty much a full service of civil engineering services. We do phase one environmental assessments, geotechnical investigations, zoning compliance research. We also do the development plans for those projects, full layout, grading, drainage, landscaping, utility development. For private projects like schools or Dollar General stores or pretty much anything in Bowling Green or surrounding states.
Yeah.
We also do transportation design. Mm-hmm. We do road design projects for the transportation cabinet and also for the city of Bowling Green and the county as well. We do geotechnical investigations and geotechnical reports. And then we do all the surveying that goes with that as well. So yeah. We touch pretty much anything that gets moved on dirt. We touch it one way or the other.
So you're coming up on 20 years celebration, aren't you?
We are, yeah. We started in March of 06,
so
we're close.
You're getting close.
18, be 19 years in March.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your operation. How many employees do you have at any given time? I know everybody's changes a lot.
42 to 45.
Okay.
I have to ask my wife every time somebody asks that question because we have people leave and we're trying to replace them.
So in the 40-ish, yeah. Mm-hmm. And engineers on staff?
I'd have to count those. You don't want to see much we count on. We've got at least seven, I'd say,
okay.
Engineers. And then probably seven architectural design graduates from Western that we grow into project managers as well.
Okay.
Do a good job with it.
And so for those that don't understand, sometimes you all act as a project manager for a project, especially if it's like a road project or something like that. Explain how that works.
Well, yeah, I don't know that we do the project management. Well, we do for you. I guess we're doing that down in Simpson County where we design the road, we let it for construction, we actually do the bidding mm-hmm. for the client, we help them select the contractor that we think's the lowest and best. And then we'll manage the project from there out, doing the testing on the road as it goes down, doing the progress payments to be sure the contractor doesn't get ahead of the client and how much money he collects. So you never want to let that happen. But we do that for the cities and counties that ask us to do that for them.
Yeah. And Jeff said he was doing that for me. So in Simpson County, for those that don't know, I'm the industrial authorities executive director in Franklin, Kentucky, and Simpson County. So we've got the Trader Joe's projects, the distribution center, not the store. So don't call me or text me or anything like that. Nothing to do with the store. So anyhow, you know, this area is pretty interesting when it comes to civil engineering, just because of the what's under the ground or what's not under the ground around here.
Yeah,
talk a little bit about the challenges, the unique challenges that we have in this region, especially, you know, when it comes to manufacturing projects, road projects, et cetera.
Well, the obvious big issue is sinkholes, cave and karst. And we used to tell people 15 years ago that once you get it roofed and paved, you're safe, you're good. And then the Corvette Museum happened.
Yeah.
And that got
Dishman Lane happened.
attention. Both of those were a little different than what we normally see. If you roof and pave, if you stop the water from penetrating from the top down, generally you stop any growth of sinkholes or dropouts. You shake them out during construction. We did the Target and Lowe's back in, that's probably been 25 years ago. We lost a scraper down in a sinkhole dropout. He was driving along, and all of a sudden the back end disappeared. So you shake them out. You'll shake them out with heavy highway equipment.
Yeah.
And you still do that somewhat. So once you get the roof and the pavement down, you've stopped the water infiltration and you're home free. That's what we used to tell clients. That's still by and large true. But we now are doing resistivity testing, looking for any anomaly, any changes in composition of the substructure. Where we see those, we know we've got issues going on, either air voids or wet soils, things like that. And we'll go in after that and drill it, confirm it. And if we confirm it with the drilling, we'll put together a package to excavate it and repair it. And we've got a standard repair. It's an inverted filter that's been used for a long, long time. And we tell our clients it'll last a couple of million years.
Okay.
And eventually that limestone will solution out and you'll have another sink there. But I won't care. I won't be here.
Yeah, we'll all be long gone.
I'll be part of the soul.
Yeah. The Corvette Museum, everybody knows about the sinkhole that happened there. And then I think we had one on Dishman Lane that closed it down for a bit.
We had a water line leaking there.
Yeah. So that was causing the moisture to get in there to mess things up.
Correct.
So what are, some of the things that you see on a regular basis when you go out and do your work? Do you see a lot of sinkholes? I mean, are they just like everywhere and you just don't realize it?
Yes, they are. And you may be sitting on one here. I mean, you just don't know. And it's not so much the ones that we know, because we can repair those. And then that's where I'd want to build my house, is on the sinkhole that I repaired. If we, I say all the time, if we knew what we were sitting on in Bowling Green, we'd probably be scared.
Yeah.
I've seen some road projects where it looks like we had maybe 10 feet of roof that the road was riding on. Like, man, I don't know about that, but that's prevalent across our region.
So do these sinkholes and other anomalies. Of course, we're in cave regions.
Exactly.
And that has a big factor in all this.
It does. And of course, we tell... And, I help the local chamber recruit industry as well. And every region of our country has its own unique set of circumstances. Ours just happens to be cave and karst. And you'll have glacial tilt to the north and sandstones in far west Kentucky. Everything's got its own problem. That's ours. And we've figured out a way to address it. And a lot of it, if it's a multi-story building, we'll set it on caissons or micropiles that are rock bearing. Uh-huh. To take away that risk completely.
So you talked about your work with the chamber, and you don't work just with Bowling Green. You work with a lot of different counties and even in other states. What have you seen in the last 25 years? Talk about from your perspective, the economic development activity that's happened in this region.
I think we're sitting in the perfect storm here in Bowling Green. I really do, not because I live here, not because my business is here, but when you look at where we're located, proximity to Nashville, our university is a huge, I think, benefit to our region. Then I-65.
Oh yeah.
I think between those three factors, I think Bowling Green's only going to continue to grow at whatever rate Bowling Green wants to grow at.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of positives, I think, in our region.
Yeah, we're seeing. This is just my perspective from a standpoint of being involved to some extent, is that we're seeing a lot more people move into the region, seeing a lot of Tennessee cars. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed that over the last year or so.
It's because our sales tax is beginning to fade out.
Yeah,
our income tax.
Yeah, our income tax is phasing out, and then our sales tax is 3 to 4 cents per dollar cheaper.
Right.
So and then property taxes are lower here as well, because we're locked in by the infamous House Bill 44 from the 70s, where property tax can't go up any more than 4% in 1 year. So in some areas, they go crazy, and not Kentucky, but other states where it could be this, and if it starts to explode, then they're jacking things up on you. We're stable. We have a stable tax structure.
Last week, Alabama has a 10% sales tax.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't I almost put it back on the shelf. Dang.
Yeah, ten.
That's a big number.
That's a big. Well, in some places in Tennessee, are close to 10.
Yeah, that's true.
They have 9, but then they have local option sales tax as well. So, those are a lot of the good things. And I know you're involved with a lot of the industrial projects that go on, and we've seen just so much happen in the last 20, 25, 30 years here, and not just here, but in surrounding counties too.
And again, I credit it to the Nashville effect. Because it's not just Bowling Green, Gilda, Murfreesboro, or Lebanon, Smyrna. Any of the surrounding cities around Nashville are actually being consumed by Nashville.
Yeah.
And we're the next ring outside of that. Yeah. I think we just benefit from it. We're a southern state.
Yeah.
I think the right to work that you championed,
yeah.
I think that impacted it.
It's had a huge impact.
Exactly. I think we're open for business.
Yeah.
And I think that the people that I've met with over the years recognize that. They want to be here.
So I know you work in residential as well. You do master.
Yeah.
So according to some reports that Chamber of Commerce did, the Bowling Green Area Chamber of Commerce and others, you know, we're about 5 years behind on new housing starts. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a lot more housing starting to pop up in the region?
We stay busy doing subdivision design work. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's always a math equation for developers.
Yeah.
How much we pay for the land and how much the utility development cost to get
and
the streets.
How much you sell the lot for.
Well, that's the input.
Yeah.
And if it's an equation, if you can't sell it for enough to recoup your cost, mm-hmm. and make a profit, you're not going to do it. And
right.
We're seeing that creep happen a lot here in Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm.
Utility development costs are getting higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, well, everything is. I mean, it's just, you know, nothing's going down. That's for sure.
That's true.
So, and when you're in a hot market like Bowling Green, I mean, I know we're sitting in this building here, our house here. We built it for a certain number 12 years ago. Well, we're seeing starter homes
exactly.
at the same price that this house was built for.
Yeah.
The introductory
homes are getting smaller because of that too.
But I've also seen in surrounding counties like in Logan and Simpson and Allen, where people are realizing, hey, we can live in a little more house for the same price, and it's still a 15-minute drive to Warren County.
That's true. You see it in Franklin.
Yeah,
there are bedroom communities for Bowling Green. Go sit on the 31W going toward Edmondson County.
At the end of the day. Yeah.
It's a lot of folks living in Edmondson County that work in Bowling Green.
And you know, they get the benefits of all of it. So talk about the most unique project you've been a part of. I had to ask this question because you've been a part of a lot of interesting projects, but I want to know what you think is the most unique.
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I'll say two. One of them was the Hot Rod Stadium.
Yeah,
I
had my DNA on that a little bit because I was with Alliance at the time.
And Mr. Butler.
Yeah.
I just take pride in that one. And it's we learned a lot as civil engineers about field drainage for Major League sports parks. But that was a unique project, and it was a special project to me just because I'm a baseball fan too. Yeah. But then the other thing that we've done since I've been in business is the Habitat for Humanity. I'm a huge fan of that, and Rod Goodman's the director, and their slogan or their motto is, you know, we want to give a hand up and not a hand out.
Right.
And he's got some success stories there that he likes to tell and I like to hear. And, you know, that's why we're here. I don't want to get too philosophically deep here, but that's why we're here, is to help those less fortunate. And I've been blessed, and I've got a good company and a lot of good employees and a lot of good partners. So it makes me feel good to be able to pay it forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as I've known you, and we have lunch a couple times a month, I don't know that I've ever heard you talk about Habitat for Humanity.
Well, I wasn't asking you for any donation.
Yeah.
But we donate everything we can. Now, the bigger project, Durbin Estates, which is a really cool project, we ended up, I think we charged them 60% of our normal fee on that because I'm not that well off.
Yeah.
But we covered our costs as best we could. But it's just nice to be able to be involved with those things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's worthwhile.
Yeah. And we know Rod because he was our engineer's coach 1 year, I think, in basketball or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Rod also married me.
What's that?
Rod married me, too.
Oh, really?
On the 13th green at the state park, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Let's go back to the ballpark for a second because I want to give a little backstory on the ballpark. But what made it so unique was is that the Columbus Catfish from Georgia decided to relocate to Bowling Green, and it was like in August or September that they decided to do that. But they were going to be playing ball next spring in Bowling Green. So the Hot Rod Stadium – actually, you had to do the field first and build around it so the field would be prepared for the baseball season. Right. That's how I remember it.
It was a fast-paced project, but it's to me, and it's one of the coolest things in Bowling Green.
Yeah,
to have something like that, just really.
Yeah, I mean, with the concerts and the ball games and college baseball and you know, just all the different things that happen out there.
And it's just the whole TIFF thing, the whole downtown TIFF thing, I felt like was another shot in the arm for our region because all of those things are industrial recruiters, recruiting tools.
Yeah,
everything we've got. Like
another tool in a toolbox.
Yep, that's right.
The Warren County just passed the Transportation Improvement District recently, which is another tool in a toolbox. So that's interesting that the Bowling Green Ballpark is your most unique project.
One of them. You know, the ball project at the Transpark was another cool project. They came in. They came in and told us when they selected their site, they wanted to be manufacturing, I think, in 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the road or the utilities designed, much less built to that facility. And we worked with the chamber and worked with Ball and Scotty's and the temporary access into that pad while we're designing and building the infrastructure to serve it. And they were open and operating in 13 months. And that's pretty amazing for a project that size.
Do you get jazzed up on those projects where you have to do some outside the box thinking to make
absolutely.
Things work? I mean,
isn't
that fun?
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I learned at the previous company I was at is you can do pretty much anything you want to. I've got a shout out to Mac Yow, and I know you're going to talk about transportation, but Mac Yow is
he's the GOAT.
he's the gold standard for engineering. And, you know, Mac, when he was state highway engineer, and he was the longest serving state highway engineer in Kentucky's history, he called us to District 3 office when he was in Frankfort and said, I want Campbell Lane widened. And this was
1990 or 91.
It's got to be right around that time, yeah. It was January, and he said, I want my wife driving on the widened Campbell Lane when she does her Christmas shopping this year. And
that was 92.
The old highway guys that were in there, Mac left. And I said, that's not going to happen. That's no way. He don't know what he's doing. He was fairly new at being state highway engineer. And, of course, the young, dumb people like me, yes, sir. You know, we got after it and we did it. But that was cool to see Mac, and Mac pushed that across the goal line. But Mac's done so many things for this region. He and Jody, they were up there. Jody Richards, at the same time, did a lot of things. The other unique thing on transportation we did, Mac called us to Frankfort. A team of six consultants selected to widen I-65. And that was in January. And he said, I will have the plans by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And we're going, oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. He did. I mean, Mac's just he was a mover and a shaker. And he knew how to cut through the BS.
Yeah.
And that was really, really critical, I think, to getting those things done.
And he's still out there doing some things. I saw him at the park dedication in Franklin about a month ago.
Mac's is loosely affiliated with our company.
Yeah.
He was heavily affiliated at one point, but he's getting further and further, I think. He wants to stay involved, and I'm happy to see him involved. And, I wish there was something we could do in the community to really honor and pay homage to what he's done for us.
You know, you talked about the Campbell Lane project, because we moved here in August of 92, and it was still two lane.
That's why you...
And I remember that, maybe not that Christmas, but the work was going on in that fall because there was construction. But, you know, I was here when Campbell Lane was two lanes. And
I mean, one of the things he did was, because typically when you do a highway project, you clear the utilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the highway department doesn't acquire the easements for the utilities to be relocated to. And in this case, Max said, we will acquire the easements and we will work with utility districts to make those happen faster. And they did, and it did. Yeah. The utilities got out of the way.
That's pretty cool.
It is. I wish, like I said, I wish we could pay Mac all of the credit.
We'll work on that. We'll see if
we can get Mac in here.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. That would be a story. I can imagine the stories that he has. So, what do you think? What's the future holding for the region?
more the same. I mean, I just think there's lots and lots and lots of people that want to be in this region. And you'd mentioned before about medical. We're becoming more and more, I think, of a regional medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
I look at all the work that's going on with the medical center and then with Greenview, and that's only going to bring more and more patients to this area, which is more and more doctors. And we got the medical school at the med center. It's just more the same. And workforce development, I know, is a hot topic for everyone,
always,
including me. But if people want to be here, and they do, this is where they're going to end up. So I think we just need to hang on and keep doing the same old, same old.
Talking about workforce real quick, I know, engineers, getting them to stay. You know, what's the for anybody that's listening and might want to be figuring out what a career is, talk about what the future is for the engineering industry and what are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Lots of challenges because we're becoming more and more of a technical society.
Yeah.
So more and more industry need engineers or government agencies. I just lost a really good young engineer to the city of Bowling Green. They paid him more than I could ever hope to pay him for the next few years. And I told him, you've got to go. You've got to go. But it's definitely a growth field for anyone that wants to get into a stable environment with not a lot of layoffs.
Yeah.
Engineering is, and obviously I'm biased, but that's the place to go. I mean, it's
Shortage of work.
There's no shortage of work, and there's not enough graduates either, for that matter. So
what about someone that maybe coming out of high school that doesn't necessarily want to go to college and become an engineer? Are there any careers in
Oh, absolutely. And I was getting ready to talk about that. My grandson's 22, and he works at Scotty's running equipment, and he worked for me a couple of summers. And I said, man, why don't you come work for me as a surveyor? Because a good surveyor in this area will make 55 plus thousand a year. Mm-hmm. And if they get really good, they can go to Nashville, they can go to some of the larger cities and make well over 100,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, and nobody graduates surveyors. Those are grown from the boots up. They have to be taught in the field or in the office. And there's a few universities that have a program in it, but it's more like geodetic surveying and celestial and stuff that's way over my head. And I could just plain surveyors are hard to find.
Yeah. And so you're growing your own.
We are.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's a continuing project because as I grow them, they leave.
Yeah, yeah. You give them the skills and then someone pays them more.
They go out on their own.
Yeah. Okay. So that happens too.
Mm-hmm. Happened to me. So well, good feel.
Stuff happens. All right, let's have a little fun here. This isn't on the question sheet. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyhow. Favorite band?
Oh, got to be Disorderly Conduct, right?
No.
I thought you set me up. It's got to be the Beatles.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Really? I figured. So, what do you like so much about the Beatles?
Well, they were just, 64. I was 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
Very impressionable.
So that makes you.
Shut up. And they were kind of anti-establishment back for a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old and during that whole time. And I kind of got away from it for maybe 10 years after I grew up. And then when I come back to it now, their songs have a lot of meaning to them.
Yeah.
And, a lot of their songs are just very well written for somebody as young as they were. I'm taking the time for a number of things that weren't important yesterday. Well, that didn't mean anything to me when I was 18, but as a 69-year-old, kind of means something to me. You know?
Yeah. You're 69?
Yeah, I'm 69.
Yeah. Well, if you were born in 54. I never did listen to the Beatles much as a younger person. I've come on. I'm a late bloomer. And it just wasn't my vibe back in the 80s when I was a teenager, but now I love them. I mean, I've watched all the documentaries, and I just get – I meet up with it
sometimes. I think it was just serendipity that McCartney and Lennon ended up in the same band.
Yeah.
I think they'd been good by themselves with other bands, but together they played off of each other.
There was some magic there.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, and that's what makes great bands great. It's all about chemistry. You can take seven mediocre musicians.
Disorderly Conduct.
Yeah, and you know, put them in a room together, and they come out with a pretty decent product, you know.
I agree.
But if you take any of them and put them somewhere else, it's, the magic's not there. Uh-huh. You know, the secret sauce isn't there. That's the Beatles.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, yeah. Favorite Beatles song?
Oh, Hey Jude. There's no doubt.
Okay. Favorite non-Beatles band?
Ooh. You know, I figured you were going to go there when you start talking about the Beatles. I love Toby Keith.
And that's okay.
A different genre, I know, but I love Toby. Yeah. Love the Eagles.
Okay. That makes sense.
But, yeah, because they're kind of yeah. The American. You know, I hate to say this, but I like the Monkees, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got it. We can't end on that.
Well, you know, we went to, for a project at the Transpark, we went to Germany and London a couple of years ago. And I told Connie, I said, now, you know, if I run into Paul McCartney, I'm going to try to have his baby.
Right? You know, we can't cut this out of the podcast, but that's okay. Well, anyhow, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate your friendship.
Yes,
you've always been real supportive of me, and I can't thank you enough for that. But more than anything, I appreciate you being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks again to Jeff Arnold, president of Arnold Consulting Engineering Services, and thank you for joining us on the DeCesare Group podcast. You know, the DeCesare Group podcast is a companion to our newsletter, Soke Economic Development and Business News, which you can subscribe to on our website, thedecesaregroup.com. It'll hit your inbox every Monday morning. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer is ACES website designer, Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly and Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, and join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.